ask you, well, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions before as we start. From your knowledge of the scriptures, what does the Lord require of you as a believer? Open question. Dan. Trust and obedience. What else? Anything? That's all he requires of us?
Surrender.
That's it? Go to Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8. Malachi, Zechariah. Just before Habakkuk, Micah 6:8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. Three key things right here. What to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you another question. What pleases God? We all want to please God, right? Is there anyone that doesn't want to please God? If that's your question, you're in the wrong church. Goodbye. We want to please God, but sometimes we don't know what He asks of us. Let's pray, and we're going to answer the question, what pleases the Lord? Father, we ask that you would guide and direct us and open your word for a short time. Not an in-depth study by any means, but one that should challenge us. And we ask that you would be glorified and praised for what's said and done, that you'd help us to grow and mature in our Christian walk. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what does the Lord ask, or what does He want us to do that will please Him? Anybody?
Praying.
Okay, praying. So that we all should pray all the time. Okay. What else pleases Him? What? Faith. It's impossible to please Him without faith. Okay. Stephen. Fear God. Fearing God pleases Him. Anything else? Yes, sir. Mercy. That's a good one. We're going to look at six fairly quickly of things that please Him. But the opposite is also true. If there are things that please Him, there are things that what? Displease Him. You guys can fill in the blank as we go through that. Let's do the two that things that displease Him first. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 and 9. We were created, if you go to Galatians chapter 1, for God's pleasure. You know that, right? God created, well, let's go there first. Galatians 1:10. Just make sure that we have it. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. The old nature wants to please men. As believers, we need to want, desire to please God. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. We all believe that, right? Oh, that wasn't very enthusiastic. All right. He is worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. Jesus Christ, the creator and sustainer of the whole universe. He holds it together by his very word. And for thy pleasure, they and us were created. We were created to please God. But we cannot do it if we're not saved. Now go to Romans chapter 8, 8 and 9. Things that displease him first. Romans 8, verse 8 and 9. So they that are in the flesh, the natural man, the unsaved man, the man that's not born again, so that then they that are in the flesh cannot what? Before you came to the cross, before you got saved, you could not please God. And yet, we have a world that tries to do all kinds of things to please God in their own way, their own plan. And God says, if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, if you're born again, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the only way to please God is not to be in the flesh, but to follow the Spirit. So the first thing that displeases him is walking in the flesh. The second thing is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, what? That he is, and that he is rewarded of them that diligently seek him. You cannot please God in the flesh, and you cannot please God if you do not have faith and believe him for who he is. So we understand that part. Now flip it over. What pleases him? If our desire as believers, we come to the cross, we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we know that we are sinners, can't save ourselves, we want to walk in the light as he is in the light, and we want to please him, but how do we do that? Most believers, if you watch their lives, probably aren't very pleasing to God. So, let's do the first one, Psalm 69. Things that will please him, that we should incorporate in our daily walk. Psalm 69, verse 30 and 31. Let me read a psalm a day or a proverb a day. Anybody? It's a good habit to get into. To at least read a psalm every single day. Psalm 69, verse 30 and 31 will give us two ways that we can please the Lord. Verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song. Where's my singer up there? I can't see her. I will praise the Lord with a song. And will magnify him with thanksgiving. 31. This also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. God says two things that please him are praise and giving thanks. God is more pleased with a loving obedience than a sacrifice. And yet many people think that they need the sacrifice to please God. God says, no, that's not what pleases me. It's if you are obedient to what I'm telling you to do in my word. And two things that please him is praise and giving thanks. And yet, a lot of believers don't thank God for much. Oh, occasionally we get in a mood where we thank him for many things. But God wants us to thank him each and every day for everything. If we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, we'll start with a hard verse first. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. It begins, in everything. What does that mean, everything? It does, right? It means everything. That's pretty simple, straightforward. In everything, give thanks. That's a tough verse. We are to be thankful in everything, but not necessarily for everything. There are things that we go through, trials, tribulations, that are difficult. But God says, in everything, give thanks, because he has a purpose for your life. You cannot do that if you're walking in the flesh. You have to be controlled by the Spirit of God. You have to be yielded, sensitive to his leading to do that. And every day that is a battle. Every minute that's a battle. Every hour that's a battle. And you can tell when you've lost the battle is when you're not praising God and you're not thankful for everything in your life. Then you know that the flesh has kind of crept up and has won that part of the minute, part of the hour, part of the day. So we have to praise him and give thanks for everything. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. There's a lot of things that we can praise him for. We can praise him for the day. We can praise him for goodness. We can praise him for life. We can praise him for salvation. We can praise him for the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we need to give him credit for everything in our life and not take it on ourselves. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Again, very, very difficult to do it continually. But that's what God requires. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. You want to please him? Praise him continually. Give thanks for everything constantly. So again, we can praise him for all kinds of things. To give him praise means to give him the credit. There is nothing we can do for God. There's nothing we can do without his help, without his power, that we should even ask credit for. And yet, we have a lot of people that like to pat themselves on the back. See what I did. See what I did in the flesh. It was my strength. It was my ability. It was my gifts. No, it wasn't. That is a deception of your own heart that you don't even understand. So the first two ways to please God, praise him continually and thank him in everything you do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 20. Children. Now, this is talking about smaller children, but we are all a child, or were at one time. Children, obey your parents in all things. Why? For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And it talks about the relationships between fathers and servants and employers and all those kinds of things. God puts a premium on obeying authority. Do we have to agree with authority over us? Who said no? No? You all agree with that? All right. We don't have to obey the authority. I mean, we don't have to agree with the authority, but we have to respect it. You don't like the governor, you don't like the president, you still have to respect the office. If you have a problem with a mom and dad that are difficult, you still have to respect them as parents. And when you do, God says that is well-pleasing. God has designed these authority relationships, but he designed them as being perfect, and they're not yet because people are involved. But he still wants us to honor those in authority over us. That includes your pastor, your teacher, the police, firemen, governor, all those people. Respect the authority, and if you do it right, God says he is well pleased. Submit to authority. Now, if you go in Colossians chapter 1, and verse 16, we'll find two more ways that we can please God. 1:10. Sorry. Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord. Taking repeated steps that you might be worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. If that's your desire, is that you want to walk in a way that's pleasing to God. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. One way you can please to God is by bearing what? Fruit. All right, what kind of fruit? Are we going to bear bananas and apples and oranges and all that kind of stuff? What is it? Just men? How about women? Okay. We don't want to leave women out. Souls of women and men. I know we're in that funny age where you... Well, we're not going to go there. All right. God says he's well-pleased when we bear fruit. Now, in the verses that we're looking at, and some that I haven't given yet, he wants us to bear much fruit. That means witnessing and leading people to Christ. And when we do that and disciple them, God says, I'm well-pleased. Because we are to be light and salt in this world. And many believers in their lifetime probably have never witness or led anybody to the Lord in their whole life. God's not really pleased with that. Now, I know we're not responsible for the outcome when we share the gospel. You might be able to water, you might be able to weed, you might be able to plant. God will give the increase, understanding that. But God wants you to bear fruit. He wants you to bear little believers, just like you. Okay. But it also says in that verse 10, being fruitful is pleasing to God in every good work, but also increasing in the knowledge of God will please him. So how do we increase in knowledge? We do what? We read the word. What if you don't like to read? I mean, how many of you in school love to read? Oh, a few of you do. Oh, reading books is kind of getting a lost art right now. I love to read, but most people now don't read books. They'd rather do the shorthand on the internet where you can't tell what the letters mean. At least I can't. Reading is a lost art, but God says increase knowledge. And he's giving us a written word for us to do that. But a lot of times you go to a believer's home, and the Bible's been on the shelf for a while, and it hasn't opened. And I think that if I just touch it, it'll just all come to me all of a sudden. Doesn't work that way. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have Wednesday nights. That's why we have different programs. It's so that we can increase in the knowledge of God. Now, be careful of the danger of that. God does not want brainiacs who know the word inside out, who can give you 1,000 verses, but it has never changed their life. You don't read to gain head knowledge. You read so that your heart is changed from the inside out. It's nice to know verses. It's nice to know doctrine. But if you don't put it in practice, it's a waste of time. You're a brainiac, but there's no change. Okay? So, if we want to please God, we have to bear fruit. And we have to increase in knowledge and then apply it in our walk. 2 Timothy chapter 2. This one's going to be a little difficult for some people. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Dan will get it. Dave will get it because of their service experience. Talk about being in the Lord's army a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You are in the Lord's army. He wants you to be disciplined. Verse 4. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. That he may what? Please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. When I was in the Rangers, we had to go to the swamps of Everglades. We were there about a month. And after a month, we didn't care what we smelled like. We didn't care what we looked like. We didn't care who was in the news. We didn't even know what day it was. We were not distracted from what we were given to as a task. That's what this is talking about. Sometimes believers are so distracted with worldly things that God's not pleased. Don't be tangled up with worldly things that will not enhance your Christian walk. There's a lot of great causes we can be involved in that are good. But they should not distract us from our relationship with the Lord. God wants us to grow and mature and become more intimate with Him first. And then if we get involved in good things, great. But if we get involved in good things, we're just feeding the flesh and our own old nature. So let me read that verse one more time. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Remember, this is just a temporary life. We're just passing through. We're just strangers and pilgrims. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God hath chosen you as a believer to be what? You guys didn't enlist. You know that? You got drafted. You're in the Lord's army once you got saved. One more. Psalm 147, verse 11. I think Stephen said this one. Psalm 147, verse 11. Oh, we're almost running out of time. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in them that what? Fear him. And those that hope in his mercy. Proverbs 16, verse 6. Proverbs 16, 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. The proper fear of God pleases him. That's a reverential kind of fear of God. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Beginning of what?
Wisdom.
How many want wisdom? You want wisdom? Begin with fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now that verse is talking about navigating through obstacle course and having the wisdom to know what to bypass and what to skip over and what to jump around so you're not trapped. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if we have the proper fear of the Lord, God says, I am well pleased. And yet, in the day and age that we live in, as we get closer and closer to the rapture, what does it talk about? Children won't fear their parents anymore. There's no fear of the law anymore. There's no fear of God anymore. Not well-pleasing to God at all, but he's allowing it to run to its course. So, be fruitful, increase the knowledge, avoid the affairs of this life, fear the Lord. We do those things, we are going to be pleasing to God, if that's your desire. Now, two things before we close this up. God has given us Bible characters. And why has he given us Bible characters in Scripture? Examples of what? All good things, all great things, all super, super believers. What kind of characters has he given us? Some pretty rotten ones. Characters to avoid, stay away from, don't do what they do. And God does not, you know, color anything. He gives it to you straight. If they did something wrong, he's going to tell you, they did something wrong, don't follow them. He's given us characters that have done great things. Follow them. Paul says, follow me as I follow God. If I don't follow God, don't follow me. So there's two characters that I want to look at, and then we'll close. The first one is found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. And Hebrews 11 is the what chapter? Faith chapter. Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, which you see a lot in this chapter, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. What was Enoch's testimony? He pleased God. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Enoch. We're not told a whole lot in the scriptures about him. But from the verses that we just read, he probably did a lot of those verses to please God. And forever and ever, ever, in Scripture, it is written, Enoch pleased him. Hopefully God will say that when we stand before him. The other character that we can look at is found in John chapter 8, verse 29. John 8, 29. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he said, He that has sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always these things that please him. When Jesus was baptized and God sent the dove down, what did the voice say in the clouds? This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, I hope you have that desire that when we stand before him, that we can say he's well pleased. But it does not come naturally. It does not come easy. You have some powerful enemies. We have Satan. You have the flesh. You have the world. And they do not want you to please God in anything. They do not want you to walk in the light at all. They don't want you to have an abundant, fruitful life. And do anything and everything to trap you, deceive you, lure you away. And yet we know here that greater is he that is in us than is in the world. Right? You know that, right? Here? Well, guess what? Knowing it here is not enough. You can know it, but if it doesn't come out here, you're going to be pulled away from the path. So I hope you have that desire to please him. And if you do, here's where you go. The verses are there. You just find the verses and say, Lord, I want to please you. I know what your word says. I can't do it in the flesh. I know that doesn't please you. I don't have enough faith. My faith is little, increase my faith, but help me to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll do that, then I have a life that's pleasing to you. And it's 8 o'clock, so we're going to close with that.